I shared earlier, the name of today's message is Manavu. Manavu is the first two words of Psalm 84 and the first two words of Isaiah 52 and verse 7. Isaiah 52 and verse 7 say, how beautiful in the TLB translation, how beautiful on the mountain are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces shalom, who brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation, and who says to Zion, your God reigns. Let me read that in Hebrew. Manavu alheh harim ragelei mevaser. Mashmia Yeshua, Mashmia Shalom. Mashmia Yeshua, Omer Letzion, Melech Elohiv. It turns out, when you learn Israeli dance, there are three dances that are taught first. The first one that is taught is Od lo at haftidai, which is I have not yet loved enough. A poem that was written, the first poem that was written in the free nation of Israel in the 40s. You know, the people came and the soldiers came and the agriculture people came, and then the arts begin to flourish, right? The poets and all those. So that's an indication that it's taking hold, that there is a society being born in. So that particular poem I had to memorize in college in my second year of Hebrew. We had to quote different verses of it and make it sound like poetry in Hebrew. But because I was learning Israeli dance at the time, I know that. I actually, the words are inside of me. The second one that is taught is Manavu. And Manavu is so powerful and it's been around so long that the Messianic dance for How I Praise You, which was originally written by Lamb back in the 70s and then re-released in the late 70s by Israel's Hope, Paul Wilbur, is an adaptation of that very dance, Manavu, which is actually the verses of Isaiah 52 and verse 7. According to the Hebrew Songs website, the transliteration for the song is Manavu al-Heharim. That's exactly in the scripture. Ragelei mevaser. Mashmia ha-Yeshua. Mashmia Shalom. Did you hear the word Yeshua? It has an H at the end. Okay, so the accent actually ends up being not Yeshua, but HaYeshua. It'd be good for you to hear. Would you play a little bit of that song? It's on the very, it says Manavu, it's at the very bottom. I can actually call it. Touch front, side, behind, and front. Sway back, sway forward, sway back, and close. Left, left, right, behind, in front. Sway back, sway forward, and close. Right, Yemenite twist. Left together, left. Right, Yemenite twist. Left together, left. Right, left together, left. Yemenite right, left together. Thank you, Joe. It's always appeared as the third song or the second song when we did Israeli dance for the community, which the first 45 minutes was always dedicated to warm-up. And in the warm-up set, which I have warm-up sets for 25 years ago and 26 years ago, is the second song that was ever played. We always use the Hebrew version because that's the Israeli dance version of that, singing to scripture. Okay? Well, we used that. And then at the congregation, on occasion, we would also use How I Praise You. At the time that we were on 91st Street, at the conclusion of the 90s and early part of the 2000s, I was asked to record in DVD and so on, our service to send around the Messianic movement because there were people interested. And we danced. And so all of the music that you see here, we were dancing back then, plus additional music. And at the beginning of every service, just about at the beginning of every service, we would play Sadiq Katamar, followed by How I Praise You, almost every time, because it's an easy dance, it's the beginning dance, and we as a congregation would train the people that were coming so that they would join us. It was not uncommon in those late 90s and early 2000s, not uncommon to have almost the entire congregation dancing. You may not think I'm telling you the truth, but there are people here that know that for a fact. We would actually move pews to start with. Eventually they got chairs, thank God, but we moved the pews anyway. The men would come in and move the entire pews from the dance place on 91st Street, and there was no play. I mean, somebody could sit in the pews over there where they were, but most everybody got up and danced. We didn't just dance those two songs. Those were the first two songs of a set, typically a set that was very similar to the set that you warmed up with in the dance class, and everybody would join in. The majority of the music was sacred. The majority of the music was, you know, renditions of the Bible, which made sense as a beginning for the congregation. We had a reputation of being the dancing congregation from the East, and I was labeled the dancing rabbi of the East because I was already the dancing rabbi on the West. We got to become friends. The dancing rabbi of the West would come here during the conference and all those places, and we would dance with him as he was teaching things. We would dance with him, he would dance with us. So much so that his son was here in 2002, and we trained his son how to dance as a surprise to him, because his son never danced. And so we trained him to dance, and we danced one of the Mashiach, the line dance Mashiach, at the Messiah Conference in 2002. And as we were getting to do that, he said, "Oh, I love that dance." I said, "Oh, well, great." Which I knew he knew the dance. We had trained we were dancing as fathers and sons. And so his son was dressed and ready to dance. The father didn't know it. So we took a shirt. We're dressed like Israeli Defense Forces. And he dressed up like that to do the dance because he knew the dance and he knew he could do it with us. So when he gets up there to do the dance, just as it starts with da 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 da, here comes his son and joins him and dances next to him. I didn't think he would actually make it through the dance, but he's not one of those cry type rabbis. So they danced. It was awesome. For Keith and I, it was the most strenuous and grueling dance I've ever done. When I was done through with that dance on stage, I was actually winded, so totally winded, myself and him, that we had to just wait behind the scenes. We couldn't come out or go back on the stage or any of those things. We were totally winded. There's a picture of that we have, showing all of us, the fathers and sons. It was one of the last, among the last time that we danced. It's next to the last time. From there, we went to Oregon and danced the last time. I'm saying that because there's a reason. There's a reason. This beautiful scripture, Isaiah 52 and verse 7, how beautiful, manavu. Is quoted by the Apostle Paul Here's the scripture, Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 15. How shall they call on the one in whom they have not trusted? And how shall they trust in the one they have not heard? And how shall they hear without someone proclaiming it? And how shall they proclaim unless they are sent? As it is written, Isaiah 52, verse 7, how beautiful are the feet of those who proclaim good news of good things. I learned that early in my walk with the Lord. We had an album called Scriptures to Sing. I tried to find it. The only thing I could find was eBay, and they didn't have any samples. So I can't actually play the song for you, but I can sing it. Because important to us in the beginning of the ministry that the Lord gave Marilyn and I was to sing the word. Sing the word from everywhere. So here's Romans 10, 14, and 15 from the King James Version. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, that bring glad tidings of good things, glad tidings of joy. And then it has a flute part. Da-da-da-da-da. It's accompanied by a guitar. And it's a man singing it. It's ingrained here. I learned when I became a believer that the Lord wanted me forever to sing his word. So my early book of music, all of my early work in the 70s and late 70s and 80s, early 90s, was all based on scripture. I used to say, just quote a book, just say a book that you don't think there's any music, and I can sing music from it. Okay? Some people would say, First Chronicles. I'd smile, say, First Chronicles. Here's 1 Chronicles 16. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Glory ye in his holy name. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Glory ye in his holy name. Turns out to be a psalm. Because this is David. This is a lot of the book of Chronicles and the book of Samuel is about David. David was a singer. So his prayers became psalms that were sung. And we could do that in those days. I remember learning to sing the scripture in other scriptures. You see, this is us today. This is us today. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Mashmi'a ha-Yeshua. That say the good news of Yeshua. Mashmi'a shalom. That bring peace. Because Yeshua is peace. Yeshua is many other things too. But his father, one of the names of his father is Adonai Shalom. So Yeshua is peace. We are here today to declare to the body of Messiah and to you, the remnant of the righteous, that the last part of the scripture in Isaiah 52, who says to Zion, who declares to the children of Israel, to declare to Israel, your God reigns. Your God is a reigning God. He's a reigning sovereign. And his son Yeshua is his delegate. See, we are the righteous seed that said, Mashmia HaYeshua. I mean, you can't plan this. You can't choreograph this. It's in the Bible. And the sad part is that, you know, that when you read it in English, it says, you know, who announces shalom, Mashmia shalom, who brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation, Mashmia HaYeshua. There's his name. There's his name. There's his name. See, the Apostle Paul wasn't out there in left field someplace trying to, you know, to in the most doctrinal book of the Bible, according to my college courses in the Bible, is the book of Romans. This first half of the book of Romans is doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. And the second half of the book of Romans is application, application, application. Chapter 10 is just before chapter 11. And chapter 10, Paul chooses to quote, Mashmia HaYeshua, Mashmia Shalom. The good news that Paul was trying to get across is encapsulated in those two words, in this song, in the first song that we learn how to dance. That's become one of the foundation songs for the whole Messianic movement. Mashmia HaYeshua, Mashmia Shalom. We come to proclaim. You know, it says announce here in the TLB, but the actual translation is who proclaims, a proclamation, right? A edict, a word that comes out of our mouth. Remember I spoke 2 weeks ago about the body of Messiah that needed to say the things of Yeshua. Well, here is the things of Adonai, his psalms, the things of David, his psalms. What are we supposed to declare? How about Mashmia HaYeshua, Mashmia Shalom. Mashmia HaYeshua, Mashmia Shalom. Proclaim Yeshua and proclaim Shalom. And then say to Zion, and say to Zion, hey, hey, Israel, Adonai, the Elohei Abraham, Elohei Isaac, Elohei Yaakov. He reigns. Elohei Abraham, Elohei Isaac, Elohei Shalom. He reigns. He reigns. He reigns. He's the reigning God. As it turns out, in our world, there is currently a vacuum of truth. Vacuum is the absence of air. In a vacuum, then certain things happen, and it's talked about in science all the time. We have a vacuum of truth. In order to make a vacuum, you remove the air. All the air is gone. It's a vacuum, no air. Well, there's a vacuum of truth. The truth has been removed. There's no truth. However, we, the mouth of Yeshua, we, the ones who are going to be proclaiming, look at the words here. And we're proclaiming. A proclamation is not, I guess you can go proclaim to your cat. You can proclaim to the walls in your house. You can tell the pots, proclaim to the pots, our God reigns. But you're going to have to say it because the pots are not listening to the mindset, right? We think we can just do it in our mind. But that's not what the scripture says. Scripture says we're going to proclaim Mashmia HaYeshua, Mashmia Shalom. We need to proclaim God's word. Some people say, well, what am I supposed to say? How about anything that he said? Well, how difficult is it for me to make a declaration? Open the Bible. Open the Bible. In fact, you can play the game of opening the Bible and going and put your finger there and imagine that the Lord directed your finger to that scripture. And not just read it. First of all, read it. Then personalize it. Change the pronouns to your name or your family's name or your wife's name or your children's name. And then proclaim it. Ezekiel was told, Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy to the mountains of Israel. Yes, boss. What do you want me to say? You're going to live again, Bones. I can just imagine. All I see is a bunch of dirt. Just standing there, and he just told me to do that, like in loud voice. Where can I go hide? Like, I ain't seeing nothing. I can imagine, yes, there are bones there. Lots of battles are being fought there. And I could tell you exactly where that is, and that's true. But it doesn't matter. You stand before dirt, sometimes the dirt of the desert, or the dirt of, you know, not all dirt in Israel has green on it. It looks more like Arizona sometimes. Arizona, zona árida. Okay? So you stand in Arizona, zona árida, and the Lord says, prophesy to the sand. Okay? You got to let my people go. And then, you know, then maybe if you got something, you go, oh, yeah, I know a song. The right foot is connected to the left foot. The left foot connected to the, you know, and start, hear the word of the Lord. Now he prophesied. There was nothing there. The Lord knew what was there. Ezekiel doesn't have to guess. He just has to obey. Come on now. That's us. That's us. There may not be anything there, but the word of the Lord said, those bones shall live. Ezekiel, are my bones going to live? Answer. No, that's not what he said. He quoted Zechariah. Well, Zechariah came afterwards. So. Thou knowest, Lord. A cop out, right? Well, Marilyn, is that going to live right there? It's your plant. What is the name of your plant? Hollister. Is Hollister going to live? You know, then came the cold weather and we were gone. We couldn't do anything about Hollister. Before I left, I went out there and Hollister looked done. He was done. All done. I said, oh, man, I sure don't want to tell her. Because she'd been going out there, take her hose with an extension and everything, and stands there and probably singing, Hollister, hear the word of the Lord. You're going to live and you're going to flourish. It's all of those things. Just like she said here, she does it. I wish I could take movies and show you the woman standing there talking to the dead plant. Well, did you think that Yeshua did something extraordinary when he spoke to the fig tree and said, near his death, near Passover, you're not going to make any figs? you're done. The next day, everybody came, and the disciples go, oh my God, how did in 24 hours this green tree that didn't have produce anything is now withered and dead? I wanted to show Marilyn that, hey, maybe he wasn't going to live. But the prophetess probably had read in Ezekiel that she can speak to the dead. When we came back, I went back to the little house because I needed to get some of the water that came around here while we were gone. And when I started to do that and I opened the door to the side, I looked over there at the dead plant, and it had green sprouts all over the place. Now, if a human can speak to a plant and say, you live, Hollister, gave him a name, like an endearing name, because a holly tree. Hollister, you know, Holly and Hollister. Holly's doing great. She didn't need nothing, just a little water and love, and say, bring me those red things and so on. But this one was dying. Typical of guys, right? This one's dying. Show there going, Hollister, you're going to live. You're going to worship the Lord. You're going to stand right here. This is a place made for you. I dug it out with my own self, she said. She shared that here. I dug it with my shovel. There were roots this big, and they were trying to kill me and kill you. But you're going to live. And as far as the husband was concerned, I was the last one out there on the day before we left. On the morning we were leaving, I went out there to close the little house and go. I said, Hollister? I mean, I caught myself. Hollister, that's not what you're supposed to do. It's a little word of encouragement. Hollister, you're not supposed to wither and die. You're supposed to get strong. You don't look so good, but let hear the word of the Lord, Hollister. We hear the word of Marilyn. We have to proclaim the truth. We have to proclaim the word, even if it doesn't look all that exciting. Even if it's out there is dead. It doesn't matter what it is. God's word has the power to make changes. And God's word is already written. He already said it. So why are we expecting him to get off from his throne and come down here and say it again? Well, he said it and he gave it to us. So we, the body of Messiah, have to proclaim his truth. What is his truth? Yeshua is his truth. What is his truth? Any word that is in the Bible is Yeshua, is the truth. We have to proclaim it. Mashmia HaYeshua, Mashmia Shalom. We have to proclaim it. What are we going to proclaim? How about this? Yeshua is the way, Haderech. Yeshua is the truth. And Yeshua is the life, John 14:6. Yeshua is the way, Haderech. Oh, could I preach on that? Yes, I have before. Yeshua is the truth. Ooh. And Yeshua is the life. I preached on that as well. We should be people about the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help us, God. That's us. We should be people of the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. In honesty, the Lord could let her words fall to the ground in exhorting you 2 weeks ago. She said, proclaim the word. If you can talk to a plant and it'll either die or live because you're talking to it, she said that. Check it out. Then can't we now not speak to the dead bones? Can we not speak to the situations? Can we not speak and it make a change? So then if we got here and reported, well, Marilyn wasn't really talking God's word. She was talking her own words. But to prove the point, to prove the point. It was dead. I didn't take a picture because I said, she might find that picture. And then go, so what are you? Don't have any faith? Hey, leave it alone. The Revitson said, Hollister, you're going to live. I told him, you need to live. You need to quit messing around. You look dead and forgotten and wore out and whatever. You look really bad. But you need to live. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Hollister and I went my way to go to the conference. In fact, it is time to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. I almost preached on this, but Yeshua said, but an hour is coming. It is here now. That was when he was with the Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4. When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people as his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Previous verse. The Father is seeking such people as his worshipers. What are they worshiping with? The Father is seeking such people as his worshipers. Such people as what? Those people that worship in spirit and truth. Being sought by the Father himself is way better promise than you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. It's a good promise too. But this one is better. Why is this one better? But both result in finding him. You will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. But when you worship in spirit and truth, your worship is spirit and truth. My friends, truth is worship. Truth is worship. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Because this is the essence of the message today. Truth is not just something we do. Truth is worship. And worship, the kind that the Father gets all excited about. Both result in the same, but when one you do the work, seek and find when you search with all your heart. And the other one, just proclaim the truth. And he does the searching. And he finds you. Well, maybe he'll miss me. I mean, that's typical of us. Typical of us negative people. Well, he could miss me. Well, let me read you some scripture here. When the Lord is going to search, he has at his disposal everything to accomplish his search. He's way better than Google search engine. Is it possible that Jehovah would fail in his search? Isn't it true that he will do the search in record time? Isn't it true that he's faster than Google or the Google search engine? In fact, the scripture says, where can I go from your ruach? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, which is usually translated hell, in Sheol, look, you're there too. If I take the wings of the dawn and settle on the other side of the sea, you get on the same plane and go from one place to the other. Even there, your hand will lead me. Your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely darkness covers me. So you may go to the darkest of bars and the greatest dens of sin. Night keeps light at a distance from me. Even darkness is not dark for you. And night is as bright as day. Darkness and light are alike to you. Psalm 139, verse 7 to 12. The one we're talking about is none other than Jehovah. Yah. We also use the name Adonai here. We're not talking about a God. We're not talking about a title for a God. We're talking about Jehovah, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. The one and only, okay? The one and only knows everything. We say he's omniscient. The one and only, he is everywhere. We say omnipresent. The one and only has all power. We say omnipotent. Now, wait a minute. Are you kidding me? Is it really possible that the Father takes on the job of finding us? Is it really possible? Is that, I must have that scripture misunderstood. Yeshua said it very clearly in his words, and his words are trustworthy. We must become true worshipers who esteem and practice worshiping the Father in spirit and truth. With his Holy Spirit and with his truth. Mashmiach HaYeshua, with his truth. In fact, that verse states unequivocally that to truly worship the Father, we must do so in spirit and truth. That's part of our DNA. The story I told you about Murray Silverling and his son was next to the last time we danced, fathers and sons. We went on to Oregon to dance. And Stephanie, made a banner for what we were representing. Would you like to show that banner? You can't, you don't have it? Ah, it's all right. Most of the time when you come here, it's sitting right there in the front. It says in spirit and truth, and it's black. And it has wings and gold and black and gold. And that was our banner. We, the fathers and sons, marched to that in Oregon. At that banner and dance representing that we were the army of spirit and truth. You might say, as we keep going, not much has changed. Some of us around here go like, oh, well, they have truth there in Kol Simcha. Yes, we do. We got more than that. We got the elements by which to worship the Father with. And we know for a fact that he loves this idea of worshiping him with truth. Yes, with the Holy Spirit, but yes, with truth. I'm here to tell you, we've got to worship the Father in truth. That is part of our DNA. That's who we are. That's what we represented as fathers and sons. Dancing. Everybody to get the message that we are got the sword of the Spirit so that we can worship in spirit and truth. Who is truth? What is truth? Yeshua answered that statement in John 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify them, separate them by your truth, by your word. Your word is truth. My friends, Did you know that you got the weapon? You got the big one. The big weapon. The one that wipes every other weapon out. That one is under your jurisdiction. The Spirit is not under our jurisdiction. We're under His. But truth is under our jurisdiction. No wonder the Lord is telling us, you've got to practice speaking truth. Speaking the word, it said, right? That's what, on the message 2 weeks ago, I also preached a similar message in the conference. I had the best reviews, the people that chased me down the rest of the weekend to say something about that. I didn't spare you. I shared it with you first. That's my way. I don't go bring something over there that I then bring to my people. I bring it to my people first, and then I bring it over there. It's the most success I've ever had in a message at a conference. The message from 2 weeks ago, right here. We are the body of Messiah. Yeshua said, I am the truth. So what are we going to speak? The truth. Mashmiah Yeshua. Well, what is the truth? Because you shall find the truth, seek and find the truth, and the truth will set you free. Freedom comes by speaking and upholding the truth. What is the truth? Yeshua answered it. Thy word is truth. I want, Father, I'm asking you the last thing I'm asking before I go do this thing that is really inside of me, that I sweat blood and all those things thinking about what's coming. Father, I want you to separate them, sanctify, separate them by your truth. Separate them by your word. Your word is truth. My friends, this is the time has come that you've got to act upon this, what I'm saying. You think that you need to know? Just memorize the scripture. I dare you. Memorize a scripture or two or three. And see if the Lord doesn't use that scripture to minister to somebody else. The thing about when you use the word of God, you don't have to worry about, well, did I miss it? You don't have to worry about nothing. Cast your bread upon the water, right? Cast your words. Let your words tell Hollister to live again. To the Hollisters all around our life. You see, I want to be sought by the Father. I go looking for Him, and sometimes I don't find Him because of the state of my own heart, the state of my own soul. Feels like He just went somewhere. Where are you? Don't you see that I'm in need of you right now? Of course, I don't think about saying, well, I'm not in Sheol. I'm not in the utmost heaven or in the othermost corners of the earth. Because there, you're there. So it's like, so where can I go hide from you? No place. So what should I say in those times? I just can't get it together. What I need to say in those times, here I am. He, nay, nee. You have my attention. All my resources are working right now, and they are at your disposal. Speak, and thy servant will do. Just speak, and thy servant will do. Then we're waiting. Well, he never said nothing. Well, in my case, I just need to sing one of the scriptures. I know it's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's all I need to do, sing one of the scriptures. I want Kol Simcha to be found by Him. I want Kol Simcha to be practicing the spirit component by his spirit, but also by his truth. Worshiping with truth and living an integral life of truth. This is fundamental to our ministry in this congregation. It is good to be reminded today that the scripture says in John 8:32, which is one of the signs on the university, this thing I quoted, so you know the verse. It's actually in scripture. We shall know the truth, Yeshua, and the truth, Yeshua, will make us free. What the world needs now is love, sweet love, is the only thing that they're just too little of. What the world needs now is Yeshua, yes, Yeshua, not just for us, but for everyone. Scripture correctly predicted that there would be a time in the world that there would be a vacuum of truth. People not interested in truth anymore. They're interested in politics. They're interested in money. Money still talks. They're interested in all kinds of things. But to say the truth, this is the truth, that Yeshua came to give life and life more abundant. This is the truth, that the Father sent his Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the truth. That is truth, my friends. But the people don't. They say, well, what we need now is love, sweet love. Well, Yeshua is love. Would you like me to quote that? John 10? Huh? Maybe we need to sing it. Our world doesn't love truth. Instead, people love lies. They refuse to learn the truth. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Dun, 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 dun. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7 and 8. Is that truth? What the world needs now is, beloved, let us love one another. The current believing world is much like the Samaritans. Yeshua said about the Samaritans, you worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews. Because we read that and think, oh, that's harsh. Except that translated to Hebrew. For Yeshua is of the Jews and from the Jews. Is he not from the Jews? That's what they don't figure out. They don't figure out that he's Jewish. It's like, really? Yeshua is from the Jews. This is what the scripture says. Salvation is from the Jews. Yeshua, salvation, that's his name, is from the Jews. John 4:22. They really don't understand that their Messiah is the one from God's chosen people. Right? And you go and say, open your Bible. Somebody say, well, no, you see, it has to be a King James. I don't care which Bible it is. I told my mom, let's open your Catholic Bible. It's probably the second time ever it was ever opened. It was there in her living room, and it never was opened, which is typical of Catholic people. They don't know what it says. So I opened it up. Here, Mom, here, in John 3:16, in Spanish, not English, in Spanish, Grolier. Remember Grolier? I quoted the Grolier Bible to her. She couldn't answer me back, so she said, I don't want to hear anything. Close it up. How sad, huh? However, rest assured that in worshiping the Father with spirit and truth, that is, with his Holy Spirit and with his Yeshua, his truth, Yeshua, he will seek us and he will find us. He will look for you and you will be found. And when you're found, you're going to be found saying what he said. You're going to be found doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing. You don't have to worry about it. It's like, is that you, Lord? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Watch the Father go, whoa, some more. That whosoever believes in him should not perish. Oh, yeah? But have life everlasting. Well, maybe that's not the one you thought about. Maybe the one you thought about was Mismor le David Asher Roilo Ejesad Benodeshe Yarbitseini Amen Hot Yinach Aleni Nafshi Yeshovev, the 23rd Psalm. We can murder the Hebrew, but he can figure it out. Go like, good choice. Are you ready to be able to say? Are we going to practice what the Holy Spirit has been bringing to us in 2 weeks ago? We're going to do it? You know, if what it had been brought 2 weeks ago is, you need to sit down, and what I need to do is go buy a bunch of cushions. Bring a cushion and say, you know, write your name on it. Marilyn, your cushion. Put a scripture there. Oh, you'd love it. We'd just be awesome people. I wonder what scripture you're going to give John. What scripture are you going to be, Joe? Which one are you going to give Sam? What you going to give to Dan and his son? What scripture are you going to give me? It doesn't matter. Any scripture will do. It's all the truth. When you are worshiping in scripture and in truth, in spirit and in truth, with the Holy Spirit and truth, he will seek us and he will find us. So I leave you with a thought as 2023 comes to a close. So may we be found by him, rejoicing in spirit and truth. Rejoicing in spirit and truth. Because we're getting ready to enter America's holiday season. Oh. Let's see. I need to act this, huh? Well, I don't believe in it. So I'm going to be the Grinch. Right? Well, I don't believe in it. Can we just be happy? How about Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Sound like scripture to me. Let every heart prepare him truth. And heaven and angels sing. And heaven and angels sing. And heaven and heaven and angels sing. You mean you know Christmas music? Among my favorite. Okay? Ta-da-ta-da-ta-ta-ta. Put on your happy face. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Put on your happy face. That's your homework. You leave here today. Be happy. Oh, I'm not so happy. Things are rough. Okay, so you're Hollister. So let me tell Hollisters. Hollister, hear the word of the Lord. And live. Life and life more abundant. Or maybe you're Holly. And you're all greened up. And you're ready to go. Do you think that the Lord's going to be upset because you wish people a wonderful holiday season? Jesus, I love you. His name is Jesus, Yeshua. I got it, you know. I got it, but the video that was made when I got baptized, they said Jesus. It was 28 degrees in the forest in Ocala when we got baptized. I want to tell you something. Jesus is good enough. I ain't doing it again. And I insisted she go with me because this was her idea. She was coveting this. She told me later, I knew. She's coveting all this all along. I'm thinking over there. Well, if I'm going to go do this, I want a partner. I was Hollister and she was Holly. So Hollister said to Holly, you got to come with me and let's go get baptized. At 28 degrees, at three lakes, if you heard where that is, in the Ocala National Forest, in January of 1979. I did get baptized. Now I could tell the Lord in tongues. Nobody knows what I'm saying. What did you say? Give me that woman, Lord. I need a wife. I found out something. Some of you know that I'm a Miami Dolphin fan. You can Google all you want to. We have the only undefeated record. And I was there. I've been a Miami Dolphin fan forever. The next big thing that happened was Tim Tebow. And I was really for Tim Tebow. I watched the game, she'd pray for him. One of the nights this week, I was looking at something else, and here pops this thing. You know what that is? That's what I can't stand about Instagram or YouTube or any of those things. Is they think this is what I want. And they give it to me. So, there's Tua doing the interview after the game last week. You said Tua, I would say, the Alabama quarterback? I know he plays for the Dolphins, but the Alabama quarterback, that one. Yeah, standing there. And he went on a 4-minute thing on serving Jesus. Not only that, he said, and I hurt because I can't go to church on Sundays. But I watch it on live stream. But I'd love to watch it live, he said. And then he said, in between plays, I sit on the bench and I pray in tongues. Well, like the guy asking in my down in Miami asking this, is you could hear the whoop. He said, oh my gosh. I mean, truly, you're not a respecter of persons. You picked the Alabama quarterback to follow in the ministry of Tebow. He didn't get this far. Well, here's this guy. Considered first 5 weeks of the season the top quarterback in the NFL. Still considered one of the top quarterbacks. People do want to hear what he has to say. And he said, I pray in tongues. I went like, and so the next video that came online, I'm going like, this is God arranging my, it's not Instagram, it was YouTube. You know how that goes. Some guy that's a believer, and he's going like, did you hear what he said? And so this believer goes on a tirade saying, oh my God, oh my word. And plays part of the video and comments on it. And he's preaching hellfire and brimstone because that quarterback. So, okay, I'm done. This is 11 something at night. I was going to go to bed early. Then another thing shows up. This YouTube thing said, Tua Tagovailoa proclaims that everything he's doing is for the good of the family name. It was prophesied that he would make their family name known around the world. Oh, surely. So I let that start, and it goes to Samoa. And it goes to some Koreans that had married with Samoans and talk about a village that's still doing this nowadays. And the chief there was a lack of a chief. So they asked Tua's grandfather if he would come and become a chief. He wasn't Tagovailoa, but he went and became the chief. That's where he got Tagovailoa. His grandfather played a big part on his life. And this is a story about when he got selected in a documentary. He got selected as the fifth choice of the NFL draft that this prophecy came to pass. Because the whole world. In fact, the first time that he played was in the middle of the Georgia-Alabama game for the national championship in 2018. And he came in on the second half because who's the quarterback right now for the Philadelphia Phillies was ineffective. And so there was speculation. I watched the game. It was a New Year's Day. I watched the game. So, surely he's not going to do that. I was rooting for Georgia. It's Georgia or Alabama. So I'm rooting for Georgia. So Saban comes back and he puts this guy. Can't even pronounce his name. Tua. Tuna? Is it tuna without an N? What is it? Tagovailoa. And they were pronouncing it. I'm going, I can't even read those words. Well, Tua Tagovailoa, 20-0 was the score. They went into overtime, national championship game, and he won overtime. They show pictures of when the game was over. He ran over where his parents were. Hugged his parents. Crying. Him's crying. Mom's crying. Dad's crying. Surely, God has used things that confound the wise. So the next Tebow right now is this guy, Tua Tagovailoa. I go challenging. I said to Marilyn, you need to see this. Some of your own medicine. You have, every day she has something I have to see. Two or three. And so she's standing right there. And I said, can I play just the beginning of this? And I played when he starts saying, talking about Jesus. She looks at me like, who's this guy? It's the Alabama quarterback from a long time. And she heard the whole thing. Then she heard the guy rant and rave about it. Then I said, oh, I got a better one for you. Then I played the beginning of that documentary where it shows where the Tagovailoa name comes from and the grandfather. They were in a church singing. When he was tiny, firstborn grandson. The grandfather was the chief, but he was also a preacher. And so he took the baby and prophesied. He prophesied and said, I know the Lord's going to come to pass that the name Tagovailoa is going to be known in the entire world. This is a middle of nowhere kind of place. And the little guy loved his grandpa. His grandpa worked with him all the time. Then his father worked with him all the time. He got to where he's what he's doing because he worked hard. And the documentary shows that. And it shows them in church. It shows them speaking in tongues, etc. And then it shows that just as he was going to win the national championship again, he was in line to get the Heisman Trophy and be the best. The coach said, Saban said, I want you to sit this. The halftime is almost over. You're not going to play the second half anyway. We're ahead 36-0. Sit down. And he said to the coach, Coach, I just want to play. So he goes to play. That very next play, he slipped, went to the right, slipped, fell. The tackler fell on top of him and broke his hip. And his college career was over. They weren't sure he was going to walk again. He would much less throw a football or any of those things. He declared for the draft. And the last part of this is his rehab to be in the draft. He decided to go in the draft because I can't afford not to want the prophecy of my grandfather to come through. And it shows Miami selecting him on the 5th round. And his name is known, my friend. Ever since that video came out, guess what's been happening? All of a sudden, all of the ESPN announcers and everybody else, it's shooting him down, just like Tebow. Everywhere you go, he's been shut down, just like Tebow. Marilyn said, I want to watch the Miami Dolphins game with you this Sunday when they play the Cowboys. And I'm going to pray like we used to do with Tebow. I send this message to my son in Israel, to my daughter, who wrote back, miracles of miracles. You're not kidding, Dad? No, I'm not kidding. She's going to watch the pro game with me so that she can pray for Tua. Ian writes back, you needed somebody to watch the game with you since I'm not here. Why am I saying that? He's got the Shannon Sharp, you name it. All the ESPN, and they're all of color because he's also of color. All of them shooting him down. He's not so good in all those things. You had told me 3 weeks ago, and I said, that's right. He came from Alabama. What do you expect? When a Gator. I have been redeemed. My mind is changed. And now from now on, I am also going to join my wife and pray for this guy so that he becomes really good. Because what he's going to do, he's going to praise Adonai. He's going to praise Jesus. He said, I'd rather be in church on Sunday than leading this NFL game. I'm going like, what? Okay. Just to say to you that indeed the body of Messiah can change the world if we proclaim him in whatever. No idea. We probably may not even get in the playoffs. They say we can't even win the next three games. I'm going like, is this a test of faith? You see, this is a test of faith. I'm going to have big, strong faith that Miami Dolphins going to do something. They ain't done nothing since Dan Marino. They've stunk the ground, the place. But now, you got, I think I'm going to favor Alabama in the national championship series this year. I'm actually going to ha-ha-ha to Alabama. Florida's not in it. Last time I went for Georgia, Alabama won. So this time I'm going to go for Alabama. Okay, let me tell you, I lived in Alabama 3 years. At Auburn, the biggest rival of the University of Alabama. The biggest rival. To even say the word Crimson Tide was... That's Maryland's alma mater. She Auburn Tiger. War Eagle. They can't make up their mind. I just thought I'd end with that. Kind of unbelievable. It's like God has got such a sense of humor. But I watched. I changed my mind. Instantaneously. I like the team. Of course I wanted the Dolphins to win. I don't care where the quarterback came from. Don't say Alabama. Just I don't care where they came from. Oh, now I'm, even if the Dolphins don't win, I want that young man to be able to accomplish his destiny. So are you. So are you. Are you going to accomplish your destiny? I think so. So, put on a happy face. Glory to the world, the Lord has come. And let us move forward from here, armed with spirit and truth, and accomplish the impossible for Yeshua. In his name I pray. Amen. Lord. Good Lord.